The Red Cross is unequivocally the noblest, most wonderful, most extraordinary organization, and they've been totally selfless and totally helpful. And the fact is, somebody needs blood every 2 seconds in America. And I like telling a couple of stories about this, one of which is Dr. Robert Schuller has launched this minister in Seoul, Korea, who came here and he had tuberculosis, he had scoliosis, he had a bent over spine. And Schuller taught him the power of goal setting and goal getting. And the guy went back and said, I'll have 150 the first year, I'll double it every year. And in 20 years, he's got a million people in his congregation. Well, Dr. Paul Youngi Cho invites Bob Schuller to come over and talk with his wife, Arvella. He is just vamping to this million people, an audience he didn't even think could exist in the universe, with a great translator. And all of a sudden, Dr. Cho comes out, hands him an envelope and said, I'm so sorry, Dr. Schuller, in front of the whole group. And what it said was that his daughter Carol had been motorcycling through Iowa. A truck gushed by her on the left, lobbed off her leg and threw her into the pit of despair and a dusty gully. And a guy came along later and saw her, slammed on his brakes, rushed her to the hospital. And when she got there, she'd lost 8 of 9 operating pints of blood. And what the letter fax had said is that, Daddy, please come home immediately. So he closed down the talk and left. He said when he arrived at the hospital, he realized for the first time in his life, it didn't matter how famous you were, didn't matter how rich you were, didn't matter how well connected you were. If there's no blood in the blood bank when you get there, you or your loved ones called dead. Now, I've told that story at a lot of talks, like right here where we are in L.A. I got to talk to the Life Underwriters, and they were having a blood drive right after I'd heard this compelling story by Dr. Schuller. And before I told it, nobody wanted to give blood. And I said, look, we got a blood mobile outside. I'm leading the charge. What I want to do is go out with you and have every one of you give blood. And we got 100% of 400 insurance agents to give blood, because once you got the story, nobody wants the needle, nobody wants the pain, nobody wants the owie, nobody wants to feel dizzy for a second. But the fact is that we don't do cadaver blood in America, which is a whole other issue. I ask why we don't, but we don't. And there's no such thing as pseudo blood. There's no false blood. So the only blood we got is from one human being generous enough to give to another. And I'm asking you to call 800-GIVE-LIFE to give blood. But we are in love with the American Red Cross. It is a great organization. It's noble, and 98% of every dollar that they raise goes to the causes that it's supposed to go to.
So we've given a lot of money to the Red Cross. Between our publisher and Mark and I think it's been close to $250,000. And we wrote this huge check and gave it to them, and it was very exciting. Now, about a year later, I'm doing a talk for the local American Red Cross chapter in Santa Barbara, and I'm the guest speaker for their board meeting. And they give out these awards to local business people who've supported the Red Cross. We're talking plaques that were like 2 feet by 3 feet for a $10,000 contribution. And I was sitting there and I was thinking, my gosh, we gave $250,000. This guy gives $10,000. He gets a plaque. I didn't even get a letter saying thank you. And obviously someone noticed I was deep in some kind of consternation as I was watching this. And he came over and he said, Jack, I'm the head of the local Red Cross here. And I'm wondering, because we read about your major contribution to the national chapter, did anyone ever thank you? And I said, you know, the truth is, I was just sitting here thinking no one ever did. And he said, I'm going to take you out to lunch as my way of representing the Red Cross and thanking you for that contribution. I said, well, thank you. So we go out to lunch and we have a great time. And about a week later, I get a letter in the mail from Elizabeth Dole, who was the president and director of the American Red Cross. And I thought, wow. Now, I didn't give that money because I wanted a letter from Elizabeth Dole or I wanted a plaque, but there was some little inner child in me that had given and not received anything in return. And it was this incomplete. Now, I wasn't aware enough, as we talked about earlier, you have to be in touch with your feelings to know what you want, to even know I wanted it until I saw someone else getting it. But it's really interesting how if we're going to be asking people to contribute to our organization, we have to be willing to ask them what they want in return so it becomes a complete cycle. Otherwise, we end up with people who stop giving, and we don't want to have that, obviously. So if we give to people as part of our asking, then they're more likely to say yes and respond to us.